Hey, it's Brittany. I have two free resources and I want to put them in your hands right now. The first is my boundaries guide for when you know you need to set or update your limits with your mother, but you're not sure where to start. It walks you through exactly that. It's going to teach you how to create boundaries based off what you need, and that way, every boundary you set feels really good for you. The second is my Inner Child Healing Challenge, a 5-day email series for when you're ready to look at the little girl inside of you who needed something that she never received. She's still waiting. This challenge is a way for you to show up for her. Both are free, both are immediately useful, and both are waiting for you at brittanymscott.com. I'll say that one more time. Head over to my website at brittanymscott.com and grab these two free resources. Go get them and then come back and let's keep listening. Hey, and welcome back to the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show. I'm your host, Brittany. Your teenager is pulling away. She's getting more private, more separate, maybe a little prickly, and something about it is hitting you in a way that feels way too big for what's actually happening. Like, you're not just reacting to your 15-year-old. You're reacting to something much more older than her. If that resonates, this episode is for you. Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show, the podcast for mothers and daughters who want to build stronger bonds, deepen their understanding, and transform their relationships. I'm your host, Brittany Scott, licensed therapist and mother-daughter relationship coach. After years of working with hundreds of daughters and mothers, I've developed strategies that help break generational patterns, heal wounds, and create the loving relationships you've always wanted. Each week, I'll be sharing insights from real clients, expert interviews, and practical tools you can use immediately to improve your mother-daughter dynamic. Whether you're struggling with communication breakdowns, navigating major life transitions, or simply want to take your already good relationship to the next level, the show is for you. And yes, the transformation I guide my clients through can be yours too. I'll share more about how you can work with me. It's time to experience the relationship you both deserve. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Let's start by understanding what's supposed to happen during the teenage years. Because if you don't know what's normal, you can't tell when your wound is getting activated. Teenagers are supposed to pull away. This is developmentally appropriate and necessary. Your teenager is in the process of individuating, becoming her own person separate from you. That's her job right now. So what does normal teenage individuation look like? She wants more privacy. She closes her bedroom door more. She doesn't want to tell you every detail about her day or her friendships. She might get vague when you ask questions. It was fine. Nothing happened. I don't know. She's less interested in family time. She'd rather be with her friends than at family dinner. She doesn't want to go on family outings like she used to. And maybe being seen with you in public might be embarrassing for her. Of course, that's a bit extreme, and teenagers and kids are silly when they start to feel that way, but sometimes it happens. She's testing boundaries and pushing back. She's questioning your rules. Maybe she argues a little bit more. She wants to make her own decisions about things like what she wears, how she styles her hair, who she hangs out with. She's more emotionally volatile. Her mood swings. She might be happy one minute and angry the next, and small things might feel like really big deals to her. All of this is normal. All of this is pretty healthy. And all of this is supposed to happen. But when you have an unhealed mother wound, this normal development can feel like rejection. Maybe it feels like abandonment. And it can possibly trigger deep fears that have nothing to do with your teenager and everything to do with your own mother wound. If you experience your own mother's control, emotional unavailability, or criticism, your teenager's normal distancing hits a very old nerve. If your mother was emotionally unavailable, your teenager's need for privacy might feel like rejection. You might take it personally when she doesn't want to share everything with you. If your mother was critical, your teenager's moodiness or pushback might feel like an attack. You might become overly sensitive to any perceived disrespect. The wound makes everything feel bigger and more dangerous than it actually is. So how do you know if you're responding to normal teenage behavior or if your wound is getting triggered? Check the intensity of your emotional reaction. If your 14-year-old says she doesn't want to go to the store with you and you feel mildly disappointed, that's proportional. That doesn't sound too bad. If you feel devastated, rejected, or even angry in a way that seems too big for the situation, that's probably your mother wound. Notice your body's response. If you feel a tightness in your chest and not in your stomach, or a surge of panic when your teenager wants space, your nervous system might be reacting to something old, not to something present. Ask yourself, is my response about what's happening right now, or is it about what I'm afraid will happen? If you're catastrophizing, thinking she's pulling away and eventually she'll want nothing to do with me, that's probably your wound talking. Look at the story you're creating. If your teenager says, I'm going to my room, and you immediately think, she doesn't want to be around me, I'm losing her, I'm a bad mother, you're not responding to what's actually happening. You're probably responding to an old fear. Now, let's talk about what happens when you're mothering a teenager with an unhealed mother wound. What patterns show up? What gets passed down without you meaning to pass it down? The first one is over-controlling. This is one of the most common patterns. You become hyper-vigilant about who she's with, where she's going, what she's doing. You need to know everything. You check her phone, you read her text, you monitor her social media. What this sounds like? Who's going to be there? I need names. Let me see your phone. You're not wearing that. I don't think you should be friends with her. On the surface, this looks like protective parenting. But underneath, it's often about anxiety. Your need to feel in control because you felt so out of control in your own childhood. The problem is, the tighter you grip, the more your teenager needs to pull away to breathe. Now, these examples are nuanced. I'm not telling you to not have standards or to keep your daughter safe. The world is scary. You must protect your daughter. But if you're authoritarian instead of authoritative, she will pick up on that. It's not that questions or statements like this are bad. They inherently are not. They're there to keep your daughter safe. But if you're showing your daughter you don't trust her and you're not working to build trust, these statements will backfire. The next example is emotional withdrawal. This is the opposite response, but comes from the same wound. When your teenager pulls away, you pull away too. You shut down emotionally as a form of self-protection. What this might look like: giving her the silent treatment when she doesn't want to spend time with you, becoming cold or distant when she's moody with you, withdrawing affection or warmth because she doesn't meet your emotional needs, making comments like, fine, I guess you don't need me anymore. You learned this from your own mother, perhaps. When she was hurt, she withdrew. So now when you're hurt by your teenager's normal development, you do the same thing. The next one is taking your teenager's independence personally. Every step toward independence feels like a personal rejection instead of a normal developmental milestone. What this sounds like? You never want to spend time with me anymore. You used to tell me everything, and now you don't tell me anything. I guess I'm not good enough for you. You're so distant lately. Did I do something wrong? This puts your teenager in an impossible position. She's trying to grow up, which is her job, but your hurt makes her feel guilty for doing what she's supposed to do. The next example of something that can be passed down without realizing it is enmeshment. This is when the boundaries between you and your teenager are too blurred. You rely on her for emotional support. You make her responsible for your feelings. You treat her more like a friend or a therapist than your own daughter. What this might look like: confiding in her about adult problems, your marriage or your relationships, your finances, your friendships, or any other relationship that you're a part of. Needing her to make you feel better when you're upset, getting hurt when she doesn't want to hear about your day, making her your primary source of emotional support. This recreates the parentification you might have experienced as a child, when you had to take care of your mother's emotions. Now, without meaning to, you might be doing the same thing to your daughter. And the last example of something that can be passed down without even realizing it is needing your teenager to make you feel okay. This is when your sense of worth or well-being is too dependent on your teenager's behavior, mood, or closeness to you. This might sound like feeling devastated when she's mad at you, needing reassurance that she still loves you. Your mood matches hers. If she's happy, you're happy. If she's distant, you're devastated. Feeling like you're failing as a mother when she's struggling. These patterns are not character flaws. They are learned responses from your own wound. This is how you learn to survive your own mother's behavior. And now you're unconsciously repeating it. Recognizing these patterns is the first real step to changing them. You can't change what you can't see. Now, some of you may be listening and thinking, like, do these things actually happen? Are these actually happening in mother-daughter relationships where a mom is parenting a teenager? And the answer is simply yes. I have seen most of these, and I have helped moms work through some of these. So they are real. I only put them in as examples because I've seen them happen, and I've worked directly with a mom or maybe a teenage daughter who was experiencing this. So here's the irony. The mother who is most afraid of her daughter pulling away is often unconsciously doing the things that push her further. Let me give you an example. A mother is terrified of losing her teenage daughter, so she becomes controlling, checking her phone, questioning her constantly, not giving her privacy, reading her journal, going through her room when she's at school. The daughter feels suffocated and pulls away more. The mother panics and tightens her grip. The daughter rebels harder. The mother sees this as evidence that she's losing her daughter, so she controls even more. Can you see the loop that starts to happen? The fear of abandonment creates the very abandonment she's afraid of. Or here's another example. Mother feels rejected when her teenager wants space, so she withdraws emotionally to protect herself. The teenager feels her mother's coldness and thinks she doesn't care about me, so she stops trying to connect. The mother sees this as proof that her daughter doesn't need her, so she withdraws further. The wound creates the exact dynamic it's trying to prevent. And the idea that your teenager doesn't need you. When I hear this one always baffles me a little bit because I've heard it many times. And I want you to know your teenager always needs you. She just needs you in different ways or in new ways, or she needs something different or specific from you. There's never a situation where your teenager does not need you. And not even teenager. There's never a situation where your daughter doesn't need you. She just needs you in a different way. You have to pay attention to the girl that's in front of you. So, what do you actually do when you're triggered? When your teenager says something or does something and you feel the surge of emotion that's way too big for the moment, name it internally before you react externally. The first step is catching it. In the moment when you feel triggered, pause and say to yourself or just think inside your head, this is my wound. Not just my daughter. This doesn't mean your daughter's behavior is okay if it's actually disrespectful, but if it means you're recognizing that the intensity of what you're feeling is more than just what's happening right now, then you're on the step to slowing down your reactions. Think, my daughter just told me she doesn't want to go run errands with me. I feel devastated. That's too big of a feeling for this situation. This is my abandonment wound talking. I'm not just devastated about what my teenager just said. Just naming it creates a tiny bit of space between the wound and your response. Create space between the trigger and your response that your daughter actually hears. This can be hard and it takes practice, but it's one of the most important skills that you can develop. When you feel triggered, don't respond immediately. Here's what you can do instead. Take a few deep breaths. Actually count them. Breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 4, breathe out for 4. This signals to your nervous system that you're not actually in any kind of danger. Maybe you need to leave the room. Tell your daughter you need a minute. Go to the bathroom. Go outside. Go to your bedroom. Give yourself a few minutes to regulate before you respond. Feel your feet on the floor. This can be a grounding technique. Notice the physical sensation of your feet making contact with the ground. This brings you back to the present moment instead of being lost in the old wound. Ask yourself, what does my teenager actually need from me right now? Not what does my wound need, but what does she need? Usually, she needs you to stay calm, to respect her autonomy, to not take her mood or her need for space personally. Put your hands on your heart and remind yourself, she's supposed to pull away. This is healthy. This is not about me. I can handle this. This won't be perfect. You won't always catch it in time. But even catching it 30% of the time is better than 0% of the time. Repair when you get it wrong, because you will get it wrong sometimes. You'll snap at her when you didn't mean to. You'll say something controlling or guilt-inducing. You'll withdraw when you should have stayed present. You are human. What matters is that you come back and repair. Here's what repair can sound like. Earlier, when you said you didn't want to come to dinner with us, I got upset. That wasn't fair to you. You're allowed to want time alone. I'm working on not taking that personally. Or, I was cold to you this morning after our argument last night. That wasn't okay. You're upset with me, and that's allowed. I shouldn't have withdrawn like that. Or, I overreacted when you didn't want to tell me about your day. You don't owe me all your thoughts and feelings. I'm sorry I made you feel guilty about that. Notice what these repairs have in common. They take responsibility without over-explaining or making excuses. They name the behavior that was hurtful. They validate your teenager's experience. They don't ask the teenager to make you feel better about messing up. Repair teaches your daughter that relationship ruptures can be fixed, that adults can take accountability, that she doesn't have to be perfect, and neither do you. I want you to know that doing this now, while your daughter's a teenager, is so important. The relationship you build during the teenage years sets the example for the adult relationship. How you handle her individuation now directly impacts whether she'll be close to you when she's 25, 35, even 45. If you can let her pull away without punishing her for it, she'll learn that she can have her own life and still have you. She'll learn that she can figure some things out and figure out who she wants to be and maybe make a mistake or two here and there and still have you support her. If you can respect her privacy, age appropriately, of course, without making her feel guilty, she'll learn that boundaries are safe with you. If you can stay connected, even when she's moody or distant, she'll learn that your love isn't conditional on her meeting your emotional needs. But if she has to fight for every inch of independence, if she learns that having her own thoughts means you'll be hurt, if she feels responsible for your emotions during these years, she'll either stay enmeshed with you out of guilt, or she'll run away as far as she can. The template you create now matters for the rest of her life. The mother who does her own work now changes what her daughter inherits. This is a cycle-breaking moment. Your daughter is watching how you handle your emotions. She's learning from what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a mother, what relationships are supposed to look like. If you can do the hard work of recognizing your triggers, regulating your emotions, repairing what you mess up, you might be teaching her skills your mother never taught you. You're showing her that it's possible to feel big feelings and not be controlled by them. You're showing her that people can take accountability. You're showing her that relationships can be healthy, even when they're hard. This is how generational patterns change. Not through perfection, but through awareness and willingness to do it differently. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have healed your entire mother wound before you can be a good mother to your teenager. You don't need to never get triggered. You don't need to respond perfectly every time. You don't have to be a perfect mother because a perfect mother doesn't even exist. You just have to be willing to look at it, to notice where your wound is showing up, to take responsibility when you get it wrong, to keep trying to do better. Your daughter doesn't need a perfect mother. She needs a mother who's willing to grow, who can admit when she's wrong, who keeps showing up, even when it's hard. If you are mothering a teenager while carrying an unhealed mother wound, I see you. You're trying to show up for your daughter while also dealing with your own pain and triggers. Your teenager's pulling away is not evidence that you're failing. It's evidence that she's developing exactly as she should. Your job is not to prevent her from individuating. It's to let her do it while staying connected, while staying regulated, while staying present. And when you mess up, because you will, you are human, you repair. You come back. You try again. That's what breaks the cycle. Not perfection, just persistent willingness to do it differently than it was done to you. I'm hosting a free live training called The Mother-Daughter Relationship Decoded. It's for adult daughters and for mothers. It will be on Zoom, so it's virtual. Thanks for listening to the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show. You're doing great work, and it matters. Take good care of yourself, and I will see you in the next one.
That's all for today's episode of the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show. Thanks so much for spending this time with me. I hope you picked up some valuable insights that you can start using right away in your own relationship to create deeper connection and understanding. If something from today's episode resonated with you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a mother or daughter in your life who needs to hear this message. And while you're at it, please consider leaving a rating and review so we can reach more families and transform the way mothers and daughters relate to each other. For those ready to take the next step, you can visit my website to learn more about my private coaching programs and my program designed specifically for mother-daughter pairs. Whether you're dealing with communication challenges, life transitions, or just want to strengthen an already good relationship, I'm here to help. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one.